This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. I'm Jessica Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus. Hey, Dr. Ken.
Hey, Jessica. How you doing?
I'm good. It's been a good week. This was book release week for you.
Right.
And I know that this will be distributed, our podcast will be distributed later than that, but I want to remind everybody that if you haven't already ordered Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, the second edition that Dr. Ken has just released, it is fantastic, and I'm excited that it's out in the world now. So I wanted to share that. You can order it from booksellers online or maybe even in person locally. So
Or Focus on the Family, who published it or co-published it. So
lots of different options. So go ahead and look it up. Don't forget to get your copy, because it has so much new information that even if you have the old book, I think you'll really appreciate all the additional information and updated information, because our world has changed a lot since 2015.
Yeah, it has. So what kind of thing, what's an example of something that's in the new edition, Jessica?
I would say the technology bit is quite a bit more. There's a lot more information about managing technology in your home. And I think it's pretty evergreen. I think the way that you did it doesn't limit it to what is available currently right now.
Yeah, because the other one was out of date 6 months after I published it. But no, I was actually setting you up for what are we talking about today, Jessica?
Not in the first edition. But we have talked about this in our podcast way, way, way back. Was about grandparenting.
Right.
So I'm excited to discuss that today. I think that's a great topic. I think grandparents have a bigger role in their grandchildren's lives today than they did in my generation growing up. And so I think it's an important topic to address.
Yeah, it really has changed. And of course, as you know, I'm smack in the middle of this with 9 grandchildren, which I still can't believe. And none of them are teenagers. And I think as long as you don't tell anyone, as I mentioned, I think I'm going to like them a little better when they're teenagers. I love my grandchildren, but I'm better with older kids. I don't know why, but sometimes a lot of grandparents are pretty good at knowing what to do with little grandkids, and their involvement is often welcome and fun and whatever. But when they turn to teenagers, I want to be clear. I think very often it still goes fine. But there's some changes that probably need to be made to be more effective as a grandparent with the older, like a teenager, rather than with a 5-year-old that you can hand more candy to him and he's happy with you.
For sure. Well, I think it sort of reflects the fact that a lot of women feel very comfortable with young children, but men really start to feel comfortable with kids that are 12 and up.
I think that's true.
To get them. So maybe that's part of it too, that being a man, you kind of enjoy it when they can take care of themselves and they know how to go to the bathroom and you don't have to change diapers. They know how to feed themselves, you know,
exactly.
It's a totally different.
Exactly.
It's a different set of responsibilities.
There's a quote from Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, that I liked. It says, "Grandparents are both our past and our future. In some ways, they are what has gone before, and in others, they are what we will become." And I think in an age more and more of isolation, where families tend to even post-COVID, once that's all done now. But you know, we talk often about how relationships and connection with mobility and so forth, there's just a real limitation of solid relationships, including family relationships. So I think for those reasons, it's that much more important that parent grandparents really think about, many of them are wanting to be a part of their grandchildren's life, but also how do I be an effective part of my teenage grandchildren's life?
I agree. It's probably hard for a grandparent too when you see all the technology and the changes that have been made to think
Yeah.
that maybe I don't relate anymore because I'm not a part of the world that they're a part of. I don't even understand the things that they're doing online. I don't understand
Right.
the world that they're part of at school. We didn't have those kind of
Yes.
problems when I was growing up,
Well,
and so it
and
makes
you
it.
know, with the breakup of families and so forth, sometimes, you know, more often, a single parent may have to spend some time living with his or her parents and bringing grandchildren with them. You know, those complications really have really changed.
And for sure, living separately or having, states between you, you feel like you see them a few times a year and it's hard to relate. And they've
Yes.
changed so much in that period of time. Or maybe
Oh,
they live
yes.
close by, but the kids are so busy these days that you hardly get a chance with them because they're busy from 7 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. You don't
Right.
get in time with them. They have activities and that sort of thing. So I know
So that's a
grandparents are
good
feeling,
point. I think it's a good point that when you don't live near them, and most grandparents are aware of just how much things change. My youngest is like 4 or 5 months old, and I'm telling you know, we get these little videos and pictures, and we're constantly, we got to go up there. Like she's a different kid now than she was 3 weeks ago. But in that vein, though, I really think I want to encourage grandparents to don't forget the significant line that is crossed when your grandchild turns around 13. Like start really paying attention for adolescent issues and needs. Sometimes it's earlier than that, but you really want to not ignore that if you haven't seen them. A teenager is not the same as an 11-year-old.
I know when my kids started to cross that line, especially my first. My parents commented that they were kind of hurt because suddenly he did not want to do all the things he wanted to do before. The
Right.
activities, especially because they were catering to a lot of young, he was the oldest of the grandchildren. They're catering to a lot of younger
Right.
grandchildren. They could tell he wasn't into what we were doing anymore. He wasn't as excited. Maybe not as excited about coming and spending time with them. He wanted to do other things, and
Right.
it
Right.
hurt their feelings, and I remember saying, don't take it personally. It's the same at home. He's not being, if it's not targeted toward you, it's just that he's changing. Remember how
That's a really good
things
example.
change, but it is an adjustment, just like it is for a parent who realizes, oh, my kid's kind of moody with me and they've always been so sweet, or they don't want to spend time with me. They want to do stuff with their friends and they never want to do things with me anymore. It hurts my feelings.
Right. Well, and that's the first thing a feeding the mouth parent will know is to watch for that very thing where there's a kind of pulling back. And the first thing to think about, like just exactly like you said, instead of being offended by it because it's not about you, is the first thing to recognize is that if they're being more isolative, pulling away from little kid stuff, then your first guess is they probably are kind of moving into that stage of who am I as an adult? And, you know, before you can fully know who you are as an adult, there's very commonly this shutdown so that everything childish is just dumb. And I don't want to be a part of that. And that's one of the first steps for many grandparents of you can't completely connect deeply with, quote, all of your grandkids at once. Like that's one kind of connection. We all go to, you know, on a trip together or whatever, but really involving yourself you have to consider each grandchildren and how you involve with them. So you really do want to pay attention to that. And in that example, you know, that it's not uncommon that your little grandchildren still love when you make cookies and you come over here, let me read you a book or whatever. But that 14, 15-year-old, it's different. And you want to think about how you approach that teenager.
Just this morning, I asked my 14-year-old what she would have to add to this episode we were going to be re recording on.
Love it.
And she said, yeah, that was one thing she said is, I wish, I love the times that I get alone with my grandparents. I wish we did that more often. It's that
Yeah.
one-on-one time. And I think because she feels valued and appreciated, especially when, I have four kids and a lot of
Right.
times the kids feel like they're all lumped together and they don't get enough one-on-one or,
Right.
time with their parents or their grandparents. They're kind of just lumped into the big family group.
That's
But the other
exactly
thing she said
right.
was, then you and dad aren't always around. Like, it's really nice to be with just them without them wanting to talk to you, or, we get to do the things that
Yes.
I like to do because they focus in on me. And I think that's a really important aspect of grandparenting that can be really hard, to make the
Right.
time for each one of them, but it's really valuable.
It really is. And I want to be really clear that when you're looking for that kind of teenage angst and pulling away and so forth, you really want to first pay attention. Not all teenagers pull away from grandparents. It's not, I'd say it's kind of 50-50. I've got teenagers that that just can't stand anything that's babying from their parents. But they let their grandparents, make them their favorite this and come sit over here. If they're cool with you still babying them, then feel free, lean into it. That's fine. But just be aware of the limits of that and start thinking about different ways to treat them respectfully as young adults. So one of them that we're kind of getting to is, well, what does that look like when I'm individually dealing with a teenager? One of the things that you might consider is to establish, especially if you don't live in the same town, establish your own connection with that teenager, communication line. For example, your own text to the teenager, or if they're on social media, you might consider getting on one of those platforms that you can also message them, maybe comment on, occasionally. That's tricky business, as you may know, for parents or grandparents to comment on an Instagram post or whatever. But you do want to think about the value of having your own communication with that teenager that doesn't just go through their parents. Now, I will also hasten to add, I think you should absolutely make sure you talk to your children, their parents, about this. Like, hey, I've got so and so's phone number, and we text some, so I just want to make sure you know that. I mean, always do that. We'll get to that in a minute, but I think that's an important difference that I don't know how important it is to have a individual communication with your 5-year-old. They're just going to get on the phone when their, parents are on the phone. But teenagers, once they have their own communication, you might think about establishing your own line directly to them.
I think that is so valuable. My mom will text and say, "How was the game last night?" Or that sort of thing. And it's
Yeah.
difficult for me when my parents or my in-laws will say, "Well, can you ask, your
Right.
older kids?" And I think, well, it's just as easy for me to send a text to them as you. They don't even live in my house anymore. Like, I
Right.
want you to be able to
That's
feel free to, why don't you ask her if she's coming, or why don't you
right.
ask him if he's gonna, do this or that or what he wants? So there's a lot of times where I think, oh, this should be separating, parents, communication with their kids to the grandparents communicating with the
Yeah.
grandkids. And I think most parents are okay with that, but you're right. You need to ask and just make sure, you're okay with me texting them on their device. I just want to make sure that, the test went well, or how did that game go, or whatever.
Exactly. That can be
It's
very powerful. Just what you're talking about, texting directly, messaging directly, those things. I would obviously be careful. You want to be careful not to overdo it. I would be cautious about overly teachy messages, like, you have a game today and I wanted to give you this Bible verse. That is not wrong. It can be great, but it's just tricky. Be careful about how they're hearing you, because remember, teenagers don't like being taught. They want to be trained. And so there's, I would, with my, if I were texting, none of my grandchildren have a phone yet, but if I were, I know I would say, hey, something like, I'm praying for you on this, because I know that for me, this kind of Bible verse, this always was encouraging to me. And you may think that's silly. You know me, I would always put that in that little capsule of this is just advice or just a thought that about me, but not trying to teach you. But again, you know, you want to evaluate, is this a touchy grandchild that it feels like I'm babying him all the time? Then be extra careful with that. But if it's a grandchild that seems to be the same with me as, you know, as she was at 8 years old, and we can just have that, well, that's fine too. Just be aware of what is the adolescent status of this grandchild.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think because kids are so connected with their phones, this is no big deal for them to receive messages from you.
Right.
It's not, you know, don't think of it as any sort of an interruption or whatever, because they're so used to fielding hundreds of messages a week, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's a lot that grandparents can do to say, hey, I know you have this dance coming up. I can't wait to see you in your dress. Will you send me a picture? Because you know I'm not on
right.
Snapchat
right.
anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
whatever.
yeah. That's
that sort
perfect.
Of thing. But, you know, just to let them know that you're interested and involved in their life and that you care about them and that you're thinking of them when you're not with them. I think
Right.
it makes everybody feel important when they're being thought of, you know.
Well, the other important part of that is to be very careful about your respect for your grandchildren's parents,
Mm-hmm.
your kid. That I will tell you that it everyone my age, when we stand around talking, there are always things that we're watching our children dealing with our grandchildren, and we don't like everything they're doing. And that's, I only say that because that's very typical. My wife and I are very happy with how our grandchildren are being raised, but you will come across stuff that you have this gut feeling of, I don't know if that's the best way to deal with it. And to be honest, my children will tell you that I do make comments. I've had a hard time with that. Yeah. Because, you know, I'm this shrink guy who thinks he kind of knows everything. So I've really had to learn to bite my tongue more and more. And that's an easy setup. Some grandparents listening have children that they really have great concerns about how their grandchildren are being raised. You really have to respect your children, that generation, because if the grandchildren see you, you know, the worst is if you side with your grandchild against their own parents. That's a very weak spot, and you will be, you have to, unless there's something really unusual here, like abuse, that a parent is going to be removed from this teenager's life. You got to remember that parents have a lot of power over their children, and you don't want to get stuck in some sort of ridiculous control battle where these grandchildren are seeing you have no respect for their parents. And that can often fuel the fire of them feeling like, yeah, you know, me too. And that's really not good for your grandchildren or your children. So learn to bite your tongue when you see stuff, and or be very careful. If you're going to give feedback of concern, do it very carefully, alone, and with great respect, if that makes sense.
Well, and I would think it would be even more complicated if you have a situation where you have a divorced child.
Right.
So
right.
you're dealing with an ex and the way that they're being parented at someone else's house and your own child. And I'm sure there's a lot of hurt feelings in the mix anyway.
Yes.
And so it would be really hard to bite your tongue about that parent that is been a difficulty in your life.
Right.
When your grandchild brings that parent up.
That's right.
So,
in those cases, you absolutely, behind closed doors, support your child. And, you know, again, you know, and it's fine to be in agreement with, you know, how hard it is with this ex. But and we'll talk a different time about we'll review the divorce and setup. You want to be careful as a grandparent to do the same thing as a parent. When a grandchild complains about their parent, your kid or your kid's ex or whatever, you want to be careful that you really are encouraging a teenager to find their own voice. There's a very big difference between, well, you know, your dad is not a good guy and he didn't do well. That's never helpful. You really want to give the message of, wow, that must have been tough. Did you say something? Did you speak up? And really encourage the teenager that, yeah, I know that's hard, but I think you can find a way to appropriately tell this, you know, whether it's your daughter-in-law, your ex-son-in-law, whatever, I think you can talk to them yourself. You want to empower the teenager to speak up and definitely push, pull away from a teenager's message that I'm helpless here. They never listen to me. That is never helpful for them. If you agree with that and sort of step in on their behalf, you end up weakening their own position.
So what are other issues do you see with grandparents that you
I
would
think
want to address?
I think those are the main thing. I think that, when your grandchildren complain, I would just mention similar to what we're talking about. When a grandchild is complaining about their parents, your kid, you really want to be careful. You could be tempted, if you have your own feelings hurt by their parents, your child, you can be tempted to kind of join forces with your teenager. I have seen really disastrous circumstances where grandparents, had such little respect for their own children that they would actually secretly allow something that, allow their teenager to do something and conspire with the teenager. Let's not tell your folks that you're doing this. That's just disastrous for everybody. Again, you've got to remember, an adolescent is looking to be an adult. So you're showing them, this is how I am with other adults that I think are wrong. I have no respect for them. And eventually that grandchild will be in that spot. Hey, I'm an adult. If you don't like what I do, you'll have no respect for me either. So you really want to be avoid that temptation to agree with your grandchildren against their parents. I would do the same message to that as you would say with in a divorce circumstance, whatever the setting is. Hey, that must be tough. I know you're frustrated by that. You can speak up and tell. Did you tell your mom? Did you say that to her? No, doesn't do any good. Dude, I think one of us thinks you are capable of really telling the truth about how you feel. And I'm afraid it's me. I wish it were you that had confidence in that kind of message. So that you respect your children and their parenting, even when you disagree. You have your own individual connection and communication with the teenager, which again, you make sure that your children know that you're talking to your grandchildren. And you watch for kind of whether they're how they respond to you kind of being a babying them. If they like it, fine. But if they don't, then step up with the same things that we do with feeding the mouth that bites you, communicating in a more adult to adult way.
Well, in that same vein, being the parent in the middle right now with grandparents on one end and my teenagers on the
Yes.
other, there's an issue that comes up occasionally where my parents and my in-laws raised my husband and I very similarly, but it was very different than what we're doing with our teenagers. My parents and
Right.
in-laws, were of the mind that you're in my house and you do what as I say. As long as you live in my house. So even if you're in college, you're coming home at a certain time, you don't get freedoms.
Right.
You do what I
Right.
say. It's obedience all the way through,
Yep.
And that didn't make for bad parenting. It really didn't. My husband and I turned out just fine.
It's standard American parenting,
But
yes.
it's yes, but we were kind of a little bit shaken when we got to college and had all this freedom. And we
Yeah.
made some poor choices our freshman
Never did
year.
that before, had you?
No, it was, suddenly we weren't under anybody's thumb. But I do think that as a parent, I'm looking at my kids saying, I'm doing things a little differently. And sometimes I get pushback from my parents or in-laws about,
Sure.
oh, well, that's not how I would have done things, or I don't think you should allow them to do that. That shouldn't be something
Sure.
they're allowed to have freedom over. And so it is helpful that you're saying, be respectful about the way you bring that up. And as a parent, I understand my parents and my in-laws' concerns sometimes about giving my kids these freedoms, saying,
Right.
well, I can't control that anymore. She's this age,
That's right.
and but it does make for some interesting conversations. And I do have to say, as a parent, that can be hard because you feel like you're, especially when you're me and you're the firstborn and want to please everybody, you feel like you're a disappointment sometimes to,
Yes.
as a parent to them. And I don't want to feel that way, but I do feel like this is the best way to raise my kids in this day and age is to get them ready for the world ahead.
Yeah, and remember that, feeding the mouth that bites you, planned emancipation is a cultural correction in your house, that what you're describing with grandparents is the norm. They didn't know to have respect for adolescence. You know, it's still my house, obedience, blah, blah, blah. So either you had good kids or you had sneaky kids or you had directly rebellious kids, but nobody talked about, hey, you should respect their adulthood. Then they get to be grandparents and it's the very same thing. I feel entitled to tell you how you should be raising my grandchildren, all that stuff. What we're interested in is what is effective. And so, regardless of is that going to ruin everything? I don't think so. Like you're saying, these are good people. But I think a lot of parents listening know just what I mean, that there can be a way of kind of sweet grandparenting that is absolutely disrespectful. I don't think you're doing it right, and I feel it's my right to tell you that. That's not right or wrong, it's just ineffective. They'll talk about you when you leave, and they're not really gonna listen to the thing you're trying to say, because it's even as adults raising their grandchildren, you can still feel the disrespect. So that's really what feeding the mouth grandparenting is all about, is correcting that very blindness to in adulthood that's come up, so that you can be effective in your relationship with your children and with your grandchildren.
Ooh, that's a really important point, is about being effective. And I think that's why I've taken to feeding the mouth principles and planned emancipation so much, is because I realized that the way I was doing before was not effective. And
And
that's really the
we had
fact of the
pushback.
matter.
Yeah, my sweet in-laws and my parents, in different ways, they were pretty careful with it, but we had pushback for sure. It just seemed wrong. And you got to remind yourself, this kind of confusion has been going on for over 100 years. So it's not surprising that well-meaning grandparents will think, well, you can't just I told you one of the things was when we let our kids keep the room however they wanted it. That was just really tough for I think both my mom and mother-in-law both. It was they were careful with it, but it was tough.
That I could never
Yeah,
comments,
exactly.
right?
I'm just not that kind of parent. And I have
I'm not
mentioned
as relaxed
before,
as
yeah,
you.
well, I've even mentioned there is a rumor, I've said this before, that no one will confirm for me, but some grandparent pay, no. My wife paid one of our kids to clean their room, but don't tell dad. That's just
Sally was
so,
desperate. She
that
was
poor
desperate.
girl, that shows a bad marriage, a dominating husband. That's just terrible. But it's a tough issue. So,
It
I
is.
get it.
It is. Well, thank you, Dr. Ken. This has been a good episode, and I'm so excited to one day be a grandparent. And I'll probably have to review this episode when I do become a grandparent
That's
to
right.
remember to bite my
Bite
tongue
your
and
tongue.
choose my words carefully. But I do think that grandparents are such an important part of grandchildren's lives. If they can be a part of their lives in any way, whether they live states away or whether they live a street away,
Right.
it's an important and valuable relationship to have generations before you that you know and that you can communicate with. And it, I, my kids love their grandparents so much, and it's so sweet to see that they have such great relationships with
Isn't
all
that
four of
great?
them. I love it, and it's such a beautiful thing as a parent to see my kids love their grandparents. But then also, I know that they have these traditions and these stories and everything else that their grandparents have built that they will take forward with them in their adult lives and in their families. And I think that's so special. So
Yeah.
thank you, Dr. Ken. Have a great day. Thank you for listening today. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com. If you enjoy this podcast, would you mind leaving us a review? This is how others find our podcast.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.